life, golf, and Judaism. I love life. I love Judaism. I love golf. And one of the reasons I love all these things is there's so many great toys. You know about the toys in life. I don't have to tell you about that. In Judaism, we've got talis and tefillin, and we've got lots and lots of books. In golf, there are some terrific toys, not all of which I entirely understand. So we have a golf glove, which you only wear on your left hand. I really don't know why you only wear it on your left hand. I just brought along some of my toys. I have a special, I think the technical term is schmatot golf, a special little rag for cleaning golf balls. You saw the white ball, but you're not limited to white. You can have pink for the ladies, gold for, I don't know, people who want to play gold, and even an I Love New York golf ball. I have a special little device, which is a GPS device, which tells me how far away I am from the green. Or I even have a little radar thing, which I didn't bring today, which tells me how far away I am. I've got a special little tee with a little thing in it. That's the technical term. So that I place it just the right distance. There are other tees. Ooh, how does this one open? With a brush mark on it, which you can use for playing golf, or also if you, I don't know. What else did I bring? I have a little pen shaped like a golf club. God forbid I should be so far away from a golf club. I've got the rules of golf. It's only 185 pages in this abbreviated edition. And my favorite thing is a golf pencil with an eraser. My history with golf. I always thought golf was a rather silly game. Chasing a small ball around a field of green. Mark Twain famously described it as a good walk ruined. In my early life, I used to play regularly. Once every 10 years, someone would talk me into playing a round of golf. Then I visited my brother, who lives on a beautiful golf course in Florida, and I was hooked about 12 years ago. I'm not 100% sure why I was hooked, but I confess I got it bad. If you look very closely, you can see my left hand is far less tan than my right hand because of that silly glove. Of course, all this time and money spent are in effect studying to prepare this sermon. I wonder if the IRS will buy that. Upon reflection, and it's actually my job to sit back, put my feet up on my desk, and reflect, I discovered that there are some obvious and some subtle reasons for a love of golf. And upon deeper reflection and more time out on the golf course, this is what rabbis call working overtime, I've come to appreciate that golf offers some deep insights helpful in understanding life. And upon the deepest of the deepest Kabbalistic meditative reflection, I once went to a 3-day intensive instructional course in San Diego. I've even managed to come up with some uniquely Jewish insights into the game of golf. This is what I had to do to justify having a high holiday sermon on the subject in the first place. And so earlier this summer, when many rabbis were seated in their comfortable chairs in their air-conditioned offices, I was hard at work. I'm talking actually sweating and requiring sunscreen at Las Hosas Country Club, where I have a wonderful clergy membership. Collecting my thoughts, digging up perfectly good grass, and following that little white ball for miles and miles, all in preparation for this sermon. There are some obvious reasons why golf is pleasurable. The beauty and the quiet of the course. A chance to get some exercise, especially if you walk. The challenge, both physical and mental. The social elements, playing with friends, and even, for some of us, playing with your spouse. And the pleasure, of course, of buying all these great toys. But the deeper reasons are what I really want to talk about. I believe that golf has much to teach us about life and Judaism. Some observations in no particular order. It's all about people and companionship. If you've ever played golf by yourself, you realize that there's just something missing. A good shot, a great putt made, or even nearly missed, just lacks something if there's no one else there to celebrate with you and to commiserate with you. Even when that someone else is a perfect stranger. So to a life lived alone, without friends, without family, is one simply deficient. And in the world of Judaism, although you can be a Jew by choice, you cannot be a Jew by self. The very first thing that the Torah, in the Torah that God describes as not good is loneliness. When God says it's not good for a person to be alone. As you know from many of our most important prayers, including the Mourner's Kaddish, a minyan of 10 adult Jews is required. Each round of golf, like each new day, brims with possibility. As you step up to the first tee, you might be just thinking, perhaps today I will get it right. Perhaps today things will go well. If not, there's always tomorrow. Just as two rounds on an identical golf, 18 holes of golf course, can be worlds apart, so too every day is a different journey through the 24 hours of your life. Be open to the possibility. As Jews, each day brings us new and wonderful opportunities to do mitzvot. Perhaps today's kind word or withholding a harsh word will make someone's day. Perhaps in the course of today's journey, you might visit someone who is ill, donate a bit to tzedakah, find a new insight that has long been lost in the rough of your life. It's just possible that something you may do in the next 24 hours will unlock a door in someone else's life, and you may never even know what you've done. Etiquette and style count for a lot in golf. There are lots of rules to the game of golf that have nothing to do with your golf club and your ball. There are rules of consideration for your fellow golfer, including keeping silent, repairing harm that you do to the course and the greens, keeping the game moving and even where you stand. All these rules epitomize the golden rule: do not do to your fellow, even your competitor, what you would not have him do to you. What a contrast to other sports, where the key is what you can get away with. A foul that the referee doesn't see. Flagrant fouls, brushing the batter back, fighting in hockey, unnecessary roughness, unsportsmanlike behavior. I once heard a football player comment on the latest cheating scandal, actually not the latest cheating scandal, but on a cheating scandal in the NFL, saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. In even further contrast, golf is the only sport which is self-judged. I remember an incident in a professional tournament where a competitor assessed a two-stroke penalty on himself because his caddy asked the caddy of another golfer what club the golfer had used. This incredibly honest golfer actually went on to win the tournament. So too in Judaism we hold that living according to the rules is the key. We live as though God has eyes and sees every foul as well as every good deed. And Judaism holds that there is a reward and punishment in the world to come. And we live this way even on the days when we have doubts in God. In golf, like in life, it's important to be on time, well-dressed, and prepared. With equipment, sunscreen, snacks, rain gear, and so on. Sounds Jewish to me. Years ago, I attended a mass rally for Soviet Jewry in Washington, D.C. It was cold. How could I tell it was a Jewish rally? Every mother pushing a stroller had drinks and snacks and hermetically sealed little things for the children and wipes and things. All the babies were overdressed in warm snowsuits in their strollers. I love that golf. In the golf I play, I am rooting for my fellows. We rejoice in each other's good shots, offer encouragement, tips, and more. You even take time and energy to help look for someone else's lost golf ball. It's an ideal to strive for in life, to rejoice in our fellow's success, even when they are far more successful than we are, and to help each other when things don't go so well. As it says in the Talmud, Kol Yisrael Averim Ze Veze, everyone is responsible for one another. I love that golf is not simply a young person's sport, that planning, thinking, patience, self-control, and grace have much, if not more, to do with success than brute strength. I sometimes play with people well into their 90s who do embarrassingly well. Embarrassing for me, that is. I once played with a man who was almost 90, who had largely lost two of his senses, hearing and sight. That's 2 out of 5. You might call him 40% disabled. But here he was walking a full and hilly 18-hole course and hitting every ball straight. Not very far, but perfectly straight. He scored very well indeed and was an inspiration to me. So too, as I get older and grayer, I appreciate that a few wrinkles and more than a few gray hairs are not considered a liability in Judaism or in the rabbinate or in a life for that matter. In fact, if you think of it, when you see rabbis and scholars depicted in Jewish art, they are more apt to look like me and some of the other folks in this audience than Justin Bieber. I love that you can play golf with anyone, no matter what their skill level, and still enjoy the game. This is far from true in other sports. Think about playing tennis, basketball, or even ping pong with someone either much better than you or much worse than you. Not much fun for either party. But golf, like life, can be enjoyed with anyone and everyone. In fact, it is a pleasure for me to play with someone vastly better than me. It's more than a pleasure, it's a common occurrence. Those of you who have been involved with studying or discussing with Judaism as an adult have learned the joys of reading the same text with people of vastly different backgrounds. Your classmate may not have the Hebrew skills that you do, but his or her life experience brings our texts and traditions alive in ways you could not possibly achieve studying alone. Golf shots that seem easy when you just think about them, or even practice or rehearse them, are quite a bit more difficult when you actually step up to the first tee and play for real. We all know how easy it is to hit the ball perfectly in the driving range and sink those impossible putts on the putting green. And so too, think about some of the tough things in life, like saying you're sorry, or doing the right but not necessarily the easy thing. In fact, during these high holiday services, we chant and pray and meditate about what we've done wrong and the need to apologize to spouses, friends and family, colleagues and neighbors. It seems like services are a mere practice session for the real thing. It's easy to chant about our sins in the collective and in the anonymity, you know what I mean, of the congregation. It's far more difficult when we step up to the moment with someone we care about and someone we've hurt in order to admit our errors and ask for forgiveness. There are countless, some would say endless, golf books, magazines, and videos that promise you miracle cure for your golf game. Moreover, each one, each week, promises the solution to all your golf problems. It reminds me of health magazines that promise with each edition yet another magic technique for melting away the pounds. Alas, one must actually get into the game and make these ideas work. There is no substitute for doing. So too have you heard from me countless times from this pulpit. Studying and belief, praying and swaying are interesting and important, but the essence in Judaism is the doing. Sometimes in golf, we do better by not trying so hard. The hardest and fastest swings rarely lead to the best result. It's all in the smoothness, the pacing, the rhythm, the flow. So too in life. We can often make a mess of things by trying too hard. Don't make yourself crazy learning the intricacies of Hebrew grammar and the details of every Jewish nuance. Simply do God's work in the world. Make your practice of Judaism a natural part of your life and of your day. Are you confused about a particular life question, as you might be about how to balance your weight, where to place the ball, and how much to open your stance and your sand wedge club face on a downhill lie in a greenside bunker with very little green to work? Golfers actually talk like this. Consider the words of the prophet Micah. It has been told you, O man, what is good and what Adonai requires of you, only to do justice, to love goodness, and to walk humbly with your God. So confused, consider. Do not do to others what you would not have them do to you. In golf, chance and circumstances can wreak havoc with your plans. A ball hit a fraction of a degree to the left or the right, or a few inches too short or too long, may wind up in the sand, rough water, out of bounds, rather than where you hoped on the green. Your ball may land in a perfect position for 110-yard wedge to the hole. Perfect. If it were not for that annoying tree which just happened to be between you and the green. In golf, one never knows what exactly will happen when club meets ball. In the same way in life, we can plan and plan and try and execute our plans. But as the Yiddish saying goes, man plans and God laughs. Or the Irish saying, the best laid plans of mice and men off gaff the glay. A little bad weather here, a sigil or there, a misunderstood communication around the corner makes all the difference in the world. Lighten up on the idea that you can control everything. a lot is in God's hands. But a lot of the wonder of golf, the pleasure of golf, is in the recovery from trouble. The horrible hook into the sand leads to the incredible recovery shot. The horrible illness leads to the work of recovery and the strength that one gains in knowing what one can overcome. I do not believe that God sends us trouble to make us stronger. That in the words of some, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Or that God doesn't close a door without opening another door. I don't believe that God controls our lives like some celestial puppet master. But I do believe that those who pray and who look to God for strength and guidance in overcoming life's difficulties and tragedies do find it. And the experience of survival strengthens and deepens us. I think that golf is almost unique to anyone, well, at least anyone with a few spare dollars, can play under conditions identical with that of the top pros. I couldn't and indeed wouldn't want to play football in the NFL or basketball in the NBA or horror of horrors face a National Hockey League defenseman. But I can and in fact have had the opportunity to play on the same exact course that Tiger Woods and other PGA professionals have played. So too you can play at life without limits if you have courage and maybe a few spare dollars. A great sage was found to be terrified on his deathbed. "What are you afraid of, Rabbi Zuzia?" they asked. "What if God asks me?" he replied. "Why I was not as pious, as patient, as devoted as Moses." "That's not what God expects of you," he was assured. "God won't ask you why you weren't Moses, only why you weren't truly Zuzia. After all, if you were Moses, who would do Zuzia's work in the world? We are all playing on the same course, on the same field in this world. But we each have different jobs to play. Your role is not the same as Tiger Woods or Bill Gates or Elie Wiesel's. But your role is no less important in the grand scheme. As I said last night, the mystics teach us that we each have a piece of the puzzle in our hands. If we don't participate in the solution of the problem of the world, to Tikkun Olam, with our own particular skills and insights, who knows how long it will take for someone else who can affect this same repair. If you spend all your efforts being like someone else, who will be like you? The key to happiness in golf and in life is selective memory. On any given day, on any golf round, we will have a large number, maybe in the hundreds, of shots. So when you think about your day, do you remember the good ones or the disasters? The key to enjoying life is to remember the amazing, wonderful, even PGA quality shots that you've made. So too, in each day, week, and year, we accumulate a wide variety of experiences. The key to happiness is to dwell on the best and let go of the worst. Oh, another thing, golf is fun. Golf is a joy to play. One of my favorite teachings from the Talmud is that God will hold us to task for all the legitimate pleasures that we have denied ourselves. So go ahead. Sing, love, eat, drink, dance, read, paint, photograph, and play. As long as you do these in moderation and without neglecting your assigned task, God wants you to enjoy. These pleasures would not have been created and made by God to be denied to God's children. Finally, although there will be wonderful days, great days, rewarding days, there will never be a perfect day of golf. There will always be something to keep working on, some room for improvement, something to inspire you, someone to emulate. Once again, in the words of the Talmud, "Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor, v'lo atah ben charim levatel mimena." It is not up to you to complete the task of making the world or even your world perfect, but you are not free to do nothing. Dear friends and members of this Kehilat Kedoshah, the sacred congregation, there are many things I wish for you. Some roll off the tongue because we say them so often. I wish you health, happiness, love, friends, gratitude, joy, depth, meaning, and financial resources adequate to protect you and everyone that you care about, and enough to share with those who lack them. But beyond this, I wish you a constant stream of life's pleasures and fun, whether you call these golf, tennis, bridge, exercise, reading, art, walking, jogging, dining, music, theater, gardening, prayer, meditation, or even numismatics or philately. Don't worry, that means coin and stamp collecting. But most of all, I pray that you find joy in the deep things of life and depth in the joyful, simple pleasures of life. And even more important than this, I pray that we never forget the source of all these gifts and never fail to thank God for them and never fail to do our part to work for the day when everyone may enjoy them. We'll move toward the conclusion of our service on page 286 with the Aleinu, a conventional Aleinu where we remain on our feet. But I'll invite you now, those of you comfortable rising, to rise to your feet.